This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here's hedge fund manager Eric Townsend.
Macro Voices All-Stars Episode 63 was recorded on September 25th, 2019. I'm Eric Townsend. Juliet DeClercq is back with us again today. Juliet, we have heard so much on Macro Voices from several of our guests who've gone deep into the nitty-gritty plumbing details of the ongoing repo crisis. You're really good at taking a step back and looking at the big picture. So explain what's going on here. What might be driving this from a macro perspective?
Eric, the old funding chestnut. Well, my take on the funding spike that started last week is that it really is a liquidity crisis, and it is firmly rooted in the Fed's initial misunderstanding of what really drives activity. So on one side, there is the price of money, and if it's too high relative to expected return on investment, growth will be choked. This is well understood. But on the other side, we have the quantity of money. And this is not something that central banks understand well, simply because business cycles used to be driven by employment cycles and the price of money rather than liquidity waves. However, through balance sheet expansions, central banks have turned the ongoing business cycle into a series of mini liquidity cycles. And the problem with liquidity is that it cannot be withdrawn without dire consequences on global activity. When she was discussing QT, Yellen, and I mean, she's not the main culprit here, her view was widely held at the time, she hoped that the liquidity withdrawal, e.g. QT, would be like, quote-unquote, watching paint dry. I'm right now in the process of writing the next JDI research report, which will be published next week. And one chart I'm focusing on in particular is the year-on-year change in global dollar liquidity, which I define by Fed monetary base plus treasury held in custody, and the year-on-year change in the largest world central bank's assets in dollar. They obviously are highly correlated because the Fed's monetary policy influences the dollar versus other major currencies, and that as the direct consequence of automatically devaluing or revaluing foreign balance sheets. That is, you know, when you don't consider all the major QE programs. And this is due to the dollar hegemony. But the real elephant in the room, and you can see this very clearly on this chart, is that central banks have ensured that the traditional business cycle has entirely faded away to the benefit of central banks' engineered liquidity cycles. So all this to basically tell you that the ongoing dollar liquidity crisis is in fact an old story. In fact, it was the cornerstone of my global slowdown outlook in 2019, even if in the end, the slowdown was blamed on everything, so China, Brexit, etc., but central bank balance sheets shrinking. Bank reserves are becoming increasingly scarce, and the recent large increase in treasury issuance is allowing the symptoms of an old 18 months crucial problem to simply become a lot more evident.
Juliet, it's fascinating to me. You know, we had Jeff Snyder on, and he's saying, look, the Fed doesn't understand the mechanics. Then we had Danielle DiMartino Booth saying, no, wait, this is what the Fed is completely failing to get right. And now you've got a new perspective on what the Fed is completely, totally failing to get right. Doesn't seem like there's anybody saying the Fed's got this covered and knows what they're doing. So do you think that the Fed's repo auctions, which is what the Fed seems to think the solution to all of this is going to solve everything?
Well, I think that repo auctions are an effective short-term band-aid, and it is actually totally crucial to see the Fed addressing the issue with no complacency. But we're looking at a situation where U.S. twin deficit will soon hover around 8% of GDP, And treasury issuance has been clogging and will continue clogging bank balance sheets, especially because the dollar is too strong for deficits to be financed by capital inflows like they were in the past.
Okay, Juliet, so what do you think is the solution?
So as I just mentioned in your first question, there is no question in my mind that the ongoing dollar funding crisis is a residue of global balance sheet shrinking, and especially the Fed's balance sheet shrinking, because the dollar, which is used in 80% of global transactions, is where quantity is the most needed, literally to lubricate global activity. The quantity of euro in circulation is much less important, obviously. What we need urgently is the Fed to return to balance sheet expansion.
Okay, so am I hearing this right? You think QE4 is coming, or you think QE4 is needed? Because those are two different things.
I think it's needed, yes, and I also think it's coming. In fact, it could be coming as soon as Q4, much like QE Infinity was born in the euro area this month. As I'm sure you've heard over the past FOMC press conference, we have come a long way from thinking that QT would be harmless to a recent admission that liquidity was indeed too tight and that a return to balance sheet expansion should be considered as soon as the next FOMC meeting. So when the Fed purchases assets, it creates bank reserves, and properly calibrated, QE4 would go a long way to alleviate funding pressures, which I repeat is a symptom of a much bigger problem, not the problem itself. E.g., without going into the details of the repo plumbing, I don't think this episode is anything to do with counterparty issue.
Okay, so if you think that QE is coming back, is that a complete game changer for assets? And can it reverse this global growth slowdown that we're seeing?
So thanks to symptoms becoming more apparent, and I think it's really crucial here because, you know, central banks do nothing to revise their models or to think differently unless you get symptoms. Central banks are now going to be forced to get out of their comfort zone and admit, for example, that they were wrong about ignoring the quantity of liquidity and only focusing on price, e.g., in this case, interest rates. I think this is a huge game changer, and that I've identified this month as we start to explore potent solutions. In a way, and I think it should probably be the title of this interview, this could mark the end of a chronic crisis rather than be the beginning of an acute one. This week, we've had former New York Fed President Dudley, who had an interesting comment. He noted that if the Fed wants to ensure that markets don't interpret an expansion of the balance sheet that is simply in line with a required growth of currency as being QE, it could simply decide to purchase bills instead of buying across the curve. The point is that we're really at the stage where we are thinking about the best way to communicate the upcoming QE4 without spooking the consumer. So action cannot really be far. As far as your question on potential implication for assets is concerned, I think it will potentially have huge implications for assets, potentially support yields further on global curves, and eventually I think it will cause global equities to break higher on stabilizing growth expectations and therefore lower equity risk premia.
So the Fed saves the day again with more money printing. I certainly agree with you that that could turn markets around. But how long can this last? How sustainable is this if we keep solving our problems by conjuring money out of thin air? How long does it take before eventually inflation catches up and stops the game?
Well, I think we're basically in realizing that if we're not going to agree to like the next recession, which clearly central banks are not, you know, we're basically talking about monetization, and that's something I've been talking about all year, and it is basically creeping on us.
Well, Juliet, I can't tell you how much we appreciate another fantastic All-Stars interview. We look forward to getting you back in a couple of weeks for another update. For the Macro Voices Podcast Network, I'm Eric Townsend.
that concludes this edition of Macro Voices. Be sure to tune in each week to hear feature interviews with the brightest minds in finance and macroeconomics. Please register your free account at macrovoices.com. Once registered, you'll receive our free weekly research roundup email containing links to supporting documents from our featured guests and the very best free financial content our volunteer research team could find on the internet each week. You'll also gain access to our free research library. And the more registered users we have, the more we'll be able to recruit high-profile feature interview guests for future programs. So please register your free account today at macrovoices.com if you haven't already. You can subscribe to Macro Voices on iTunes to have Macro Voices automatically delivered to your mobile device each week free of charge. Macro Voices is presented for informational and entertainment purposes only. The information presented on Macro Voices should not be construed as investment advice. Always consult a licensed investment professional before making investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed on Macro Voices are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the show's hosts or sponsors. Macro Voices, its producers, sponsors, and hosts, Eric Townsend, shall not be liable for losses resulting from investment decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on Macro Voices.